from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Stand.
And swinging a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing? And Alvarez stands at third. That should have ended the inning. Instead, another run is in on another Cruz error. And a man's at third base.
An incredulous Joe Block. Two errors on one play, three in the game for O'Neill Cruz, who had a dismal series. And joining us now on the Fan Hotline to get into that and more from the Post-Gazette, he is Andrew Destin. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Andrew, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And the first question is, do you like being referred to as Destiny's child? Do you like this?
Thanks for having me on, guys. How are you both doing this morning?
Solid, man.
Let's see. So the nickname is funny because Mr. Starkey thinks he came up with it, but it dates back to high school. I had teachers who used to call me that. So, but I've always been a last name guy because there's a million Andrews in the world. So I kind of just got used to it. It's Destiny's child, whatever it is.
Does Derek Shelton really call you Destiny's child? Do any of the guys in the clubhouse call you that?
It's just Shelton at this point, but I think
he's only the one that's old enough.
Yeah.
That's right. To know Destiny's child.
That's right.
Definitely that. I don't, anybody who's my age pretty much doesn't know Destiny's Child, but it's starting to catch on, I think, with other members of the coaching staff. So it's all fun games. It's all a good time.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So we heard the Cruz double error right off the shoot there, and I mean, is it overstating things to say that this is the most important series of O'Neill Cruz's career? Because I could see this thing going in one of two directions for the young man here, Destiny's Child.
I think it would be, you know, a little bit of an overstep, just in the sense that we've kind of seen this from O'Neill Cruz, maybe not this egregious, but this is the experience, right? Where when he's hot, when it's clicking, it's tremendous, and he looks like a top 20 player in baseball. Like, he has that potential inside him, but the reality is he's just such a mercurial player at this point in his career. And it's worth noting, I'm not trying to use this as an excuse, right? Like, last year, didn't play many baseball games due to the season-ending injury. And this is a guy who, in general, needs to continue getting reps at shortstop, needs to continue getting reps. So, you know, we can see things spiral. Like, when he's facing a really good lefty in Framber Valdez, that's just not a good matchup for a guy who, in general, doesn't hit lefties particularly well. So, you know, maybe at the 10,000-foot level, it looks like things are spiraling. But I wouldn't read into this too much. It's a bad series, but we've seen him have equally as many great series this year. He's just not a consistent player. That's just who he is at this stage in his career. Remains to be seen how it develops, but I wouldn't place too much stock in this other than a bad series. You hope for his sake and for the Pirates' sake that they can just move on from it.
Andrew, do you anticipate us seeing Kiner Falefa tonight? Is he ready? Is he, you know, off the 10-day? Well, actually, it was longer than that. Is he up to par of playing and on the track of playing tonight?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, just based off of everything we've heard, and I know, you know, Noah can speak to this more from being in Houston with the team while he was there, but I would expect that this would be an opportunity for him to come off. And if it's not today, it's probably sometime relatively soon. I mean, he was traveling, you know, met up with the team in Houston versus you know, reporting straight to Indianapolis or something like that to start up a, you know, continue a rehab assignment or anything like that. So I view it as he's very close. If it's not today, it's probably at some point during this series, with goes without saying, definitely the homestand.
And I would imagine he will be the starting second baseman for as long as Nick Gonzalez is out. When Nick Gonzalez comes back, given how poorly Key Brian Hayes has hit, could you see him being the full-time third baseman?
I think it's a possibility. I don't think that, you know, I'll phrase it this way. I fully well see him dipping into Key Brian Hayes' playing time. I think that happens. But I think what we see with Kiner Falefa is this is a guy who's going to bounce around the field. Like, he's probably going to take a few starts a week from Michael A. Taylor in center, probably going to take a few from Key Brian Hayes. Maybe you spell Nick Gonzalez, because for a while there, Gonzalez was really playing 6 days a week, things of that nature. It allows you to actually give O'Neill Cruz an off day when they're facing a lefty like a Framber Valdez, where it's not a great matchup for Cruz, and it allows him to actually rest a little bit more, which is probably important given that the ankle, yeah, right now it's in a good spot, but, like, he's still playing a lot of games relative to last season. This move can't hurt. Like, I really do like this move, not just from what it means for the Pirates in terms of what he provides individually, but how it impacts the rest of the roster. But to your question, Adam, yeah, I think that he's going to dip into Key Brian Hayes' playing time, but I would be pretty surprised if he supplanted him as a full-time starter anytime soon. Maybe if Hayes really continues to go down a the rabbit hole there and continues to struggle at the plate, we have a different conversation. But for the time being, this is a guy who's going to bounce around the field and give people days off while staying in the lineup on a pretty consistent basis.
I thought one of the most legitimate trade pieces was going to be Aroldis Chapman. Were you surprised that they held on to Aroldis Chapman and didn't trade him for something else?
No, just based on conversations I'd had with people throughout the league, I had a hunch this wasn't going to happen. The general consensus that I got from people was that if the Pirates were under 500, like, let's throw out a number, if they were five games under 500, then they would have probably considered trading Aroldis Chapman. But the reality is that as much as he is an expensive piece and on an expiring contract and things of that nature, he helps the 2024 team. That's why he's here. So if you're trying to get to the postseason, like, you kind of need Aroldis Chapman, and especially when you compound that with David Bednar hasn't had a tremendous season and Colin Holderman has been great all year, but not recently. I think there's some skepticism to the idea of, oh, well, you can move away from Aroldis Chapman because you've got all these bullpen arms, especially at the back end. This bullpen, I'm kind of getting this off the top of my head, but I think the bullpen this year is either 24th or 25th in MLB and ERA this year. So subtracting arguably your most valuable or one of your most valuable arms felt like that would just put the team in a worse spot versus moving Martin Perez, you know, that's shipping in excess. So I never seriously thought Aroldis Chapman was going to be dealt. Though I did completely understand why, that idea warranted serious consideration, because it makes a lot of sense. It just doesn't if you're trying to make the postseason.
Andrew Destin joining us from the Post-Gazette covers the Buccos for that outlet. Of the three major league moves that they made, the three pieces they added, how impactful are those three trades? Is this, when you look at the team on paper, a postseason caliber roster in your mind?
Okay, so the first move that I would say that I really like, the most impactful of them, I would say that Kiner Falefa, but Brian De La Cruz isn't far behind. Like, obviously these guys are going to help an offense that is on the whole struggled this year. It's just a matter of which guy is going to be better. Kiner Falefa, there's certainly some concerns there because it's a guy who's in the midst of a career year. He's never hit this well. He's never gone on base this frequently. So there is a little bit of concern of, is there some regression in store? And is that going to basically, you know, coincide with his time in Pittsburgh? That's definitely a legitimate concern. De La Cruz, a less impactful player this year, but on the whole, very consistent one throughout his four MLB seasons. You can look at the OPS. It's been relatively constant. This is a guy who pretty much every year you know what you're getting. And this year he's provided more power than usual. So that certainly can't hurt. But when you look at the roster, you know, with getting Jalen Beeks, who, you know, a nice left-hand relief option, probably earlier in games than, you know, the sixth or the seventh inning, something like that. I look at the roster, I would phrase it this way. They kept pace with the other teams that are in contention for wild card spots, but they did not exceed them. They did not put the roster in a spot that it's, you know, infinitely better than the Cardinals or the Braves or the Padres. Like, I would still say those three teams are at the very least equal or better than the Pirates. However, what they did do is they held serve. They kept pace with them. They're very much a team that should be taken seriously. without those kinds of moves, I would have really struggled to say, okay, they're right on, you know, right on pace with those three teams that, frankly, right now would be my three picks to be wildcard teams. And you also have to throw a team like the Mets in there that did get better at this deadline. So they did enough. I don't think they made it this clean and obvious they are going to be a postseason team, though. I think that's a little bit much to say.
Any update or a new timeline on Jared Jones?
Nothing new. I mean, I'm pretty steadfast with the mid-August. That's kind of been the timeline that I've thrown out there, but maybe a little bit earlier. For his sake, it would be great if he could pitch during the road trip when they're in L.A. and San Diego, just because he's from there. I know that would mean a lot to him and to the family and all those sorts of things, but it might be something where we see him make a rehab start in Indianapolis, because he's already thrown a few bullpens. He's probably close to that sim game. Next would be a rehab start. So I would say you could probably reasonably suspect 10 days away. So maybe that coincides with an arrival around that August 12th, August 14th timeline. That's kind of what we've been predicting for a little bit there. So he's very close. He's getting there.
Andrew Destin, Post-Gazette. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks for waking up with us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
See you, buddy.
See you.
Andrew Destin, I don't know why I said the waking up with us thing. It kind of sounded weird.
It did.
It's not even that early.
No,
it's 9 o'clock.
No, yeah, it's 9.
If you're not awake by 9 o'clock and you're an adult, I don't take you seriously as a person.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Even on the weekends. We are excluded from that because we work this.
What's the latest that you've slept in on the weekend since you've been doing this job?
When I was in Delaware, I slept in.
Till?
8.
That's not sleeping.
The kids, they just don't let it. I mean, I get up between 6 and 7 on the weekends, probably. What about you?
I slept till like 10.
What?
Yeah.
What about you, Callis? Weekends. What are you doing? I bet you hibernate, man.
This shift has changed my sleep schedule, but I used to stay up until like 4 in the morning playing video games or just like entertaining myself. And I actually, for a Saturday shift when I was real new here, I slept in so late, like I woke up at 1 o'clock and my shift started at 1.
Does Craig know that?
I don't think so.
Well, now
but
he
I
does.
Gave Nate Hlushek the entire 1 o'clock hour. I said, I got here at like 1:15. I said, hey, man, you just take the hour.
Take the extra hour.
Right. Take the
what
whole
a
hour.
Generous man
That's
you
real
are.
Nice.
Not covering your own ass. No, I'm helping my friend out who I work with. All right, when we come back, there's a lot to react to from what Andrew Destin had to say, so we will do that. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we want you back after this break. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I got a... Oh, no.
Oh no.
I just got a text from our old pal Mulsey, and it just said, thanks for waking up with us. I have a significant problem, and I shouldn't, as a morning talk show host in a very good market, bringing guests on and saying goodbye to guests. I screw it up all the time.
Do you?
I make it awkward as hell. Thanks for waking up with us? What am I doing?
I think you meant for us.
Yeah. Thanks for waking up for us. Waking up with us is like beer goggles in the morning and you roll over and you go, hey, thanks for waking up. With us. Yeah. That's no good.
Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
It's Friday.
Why did Grandma die? Why do the PM guys, why do they just come at you all the time?
I don't know that they're coming at me. I think
they did yesterday.
They come at all of us, so they just like to start all the nonsense that they do.
Did you hear yesterday?
Yeah, they called me Benedict Crowley for going to this Pitt event tomorrow. We'll react to some of what Andrew Destin had to say in a moment about IKF, about Key Brian Hayes, about O'Neill Cruz, but I'm going to this event, and they're raising money for Pitt, but nobody's going to see me. That would be the thing. They're calling me Benedict Crowley because this is this Pitt fundraiser and we're going there. We're going to do like a live show for a little bit. And it'd be one thing if for months and months and months we're saying, come out to the Peterson Event Center, come see the fan morning show, and then all the proceeds go to Pitt. All the tickets are bought. Everyone who's going to be there is there, not for me. I'm going to be a good sport and to show that in this world of divisiveness, in this world where college football geographically is being pulled apart limb by limb, that us regional rivals, while there is hatred, there's also respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to show that I'm a good man and that we can coexist.
Nobody's asking you to wear like Pitt stuff or to be a Pitt supporter. We are asking you to go as you, as a West Virginia guy.
Right. And that's you're going to have fun missing at my expense.
That's what they're missing.
Yeah. Like
you're going as a huge West Virginia supporter. And that's the premise of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be playing someone else. I'm going to be in Crowley character.
Right. You're not going there to, I'm going to wear a Pitt shirt and let a rah-rah Pitt. No, you're going as you, as West Virginia Crowley.
I am a little bit nervous, though, because of that. Because I know that Pat Narduzzi's staff once had a Steelers reporter remove his West Virginia hat at a practice. And this is a big Pitt deal here. And I could see me walking in there wearing all my West Virginia garb and Narduzzi not taking too kindly to that. I could see it causing a little bit of friction.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
But then there's also this. I'm going to be getting crapped on. It's going to be a roast, basically. What am I allowed to say back?
Whatever you want.
I don't know about that. We're partners.
Whatever you want.
I don't feel like I can sit there and remind Pat Narduzzi that who won the brawl last year.
Well, I mean,
I can't be throwing that back in his face.
You can, but you just better be prepared for him to throw something back in your face. That's the thing. Like, do you really want to stoke that fire? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Like, I don't think that – I think it's no holds barred on your end and on Pitt's end, but if you open that door, better be ready to walk through it and don't know what's on the other side.
I'm not ready to walk through it.
Then don't say anything.
Like, I don't want to hear 13-9, 13-9, 13-9, and then I go, you say 13-9 or 3-9, and then what? And then Pat Narduzzi's never coming on the show again.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that the basketball guy likes me very much.
Why?
I don't think Capel's a big fan at all.
Why?
Because I said I could see why they got left out of the tournament. I didn't say I agree. I just said I could see how they got left out. And then the whole five-alarm marathon, I tried to make a joke, and he didn't take it as a joke. It was a whole thing. Definitely the worst part of the fan.
You're definitely getting nervous, I could tell.
I am nervous. I am legitimately nervous. It comforts me that I'll be arriving with you, but...
You have a lot of trust in me, huh?
Well, I just don't think you'd let me get beat up. But verbally, because I did get shoved in the bathroom at the backyard brawl.
It's not going to be that type of crowd.
Right. These are all the big money
professionals.
Dudes. Are we going to see... are we going to see... Chris Bickle there, you think?
Probably.
I don't know what to wear. I might show up, dude, now that I think about it, I might show up wearing like a boxer's robe. And so I walk in and people are going to be like, look at this jackal. And then I'm going to drop the robe and I'm just going to be head to toe Dub V. Actually, this might be the
play.
Why
are you saying?
This might be the play. I'm talking and I'm nervous. I talk when I'm nervous. That's why I do radio. If I wear my West Virginia beat Penn State shirt, do you think that's kind of like an olive branch, a peace offering? Because I think people there hate Penn State more than they hate West Virginia.
I think you're onto something there.
Okay.
I think that if you do that, it'll be kumbaya.
Kumbaya?
Yeah, we'll all
hold hands
and
here on the subway?
Yes, what? We'll all sing the fight
Hey,
song.
Arnold.
Here's what you need. That's it. That's what comes into your mind in the morning. You're going to show up in a robe.
In a robe.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I should actually invite some of my West Virginia brethren, and they should carry me in wearing the robe and then drop me on the stage. And
where do you come up with this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to talk about the Pirates there and react to some of what Andrew Destin had to say. We'll do that coming up next. And wait until you hear social media's biggest loser today. There's a clip that went viral that, Doran, I think you and I are going to look at totally differently. And we'll tell the people a little bit later on this hour. Social media's biggest loser coming up in the next segment. It's a good one. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I think Doran and I are going to look at it differently. So that should be fun. We'll get into Andrew Destin's comments in just a moment here. Talking about the Buccos and their massive series this weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But someone texted in and said they're a Pitt fan, West Virginia fan, and a Penn State fan.
That's tough. Maybe their kids go to the different schools.
I don't care. If my daughter goes to Penn State, I ain't rooting for them. I have two daughters. If either of them go to Pitt or Penn State, I won't take up for the school's sports programs. Hell
what if they
no.
play? What if they, what if one of your daughters is a basketball player or a volleyball player and goes to Pitt?
I would root for that particular team. I would root for that particular team. It's why we didn't have boys.
So you don't think that like
so that they don't play basketball or football for Pitt? Although I think my gene line, I don't think there's much of a chance
you
of that
know.
Anyhow.
You don't know.
You don't ever know. Good point by you.
So I shouldn't root for my son if he picks to go to Penn State.
And play football at Penn State?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
That's very tough. I'm not looking forward to that. If
Swinton,
that's
like, get a jersey or a shirt, right?
No.
Or a visor, a hat?
Here's the thing. No. You will have failed as a parent, Doran, because you will have not convinced them to go someplace else. You will already have lost that battle if one of your sons goes to Penn State.
Yeah, you're right.
They would never do that.
They would never, because I asked them now, I'm like, where are you going to go to school? And they say Pitt.
Yeah.
And I haven't even, like, bash that into their brain yet. Like, they just know. They know not to say the other schools.
Yeah. It's just baked in.
Yep.
Cut them open, they bleed gold and blue. Blue and gold, whatever it is.
Already.
Yeah.
No matter what. But that would be something if they did do that.
Is that text from Chris Mack? Pitt fan, West Virginia fan, Penn State fan. It's a weird thing, man.
See, like, Scott McKillop, he has it tough. Like, because his wife and her family are real big West Virginia
supporters.
And he
lives in West Virginia,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And look what he did. Like, that has to be a tough dynamic.
He only had 87 tackles December 1st, 2007, yeah.
Right.
I happen to like that guy, but mostly because of his family, yeah. My wife, Pitt, parents, Pitt. I broke the mold. I went my own way.
It's because you didn't have any other choice. Anybody can get into West Virginia.
Yeah,
you couldn't get into the other schools.
Pitt didn't have a journalism school. I don't know if they do now.
Yes,
but
they did.
They did not.
Yes, they did.
They did not have did not have an official journalism major.
Okay. They didn't have a heavy broadcasting program, but the journalism was there.
Okay, yes, broadcasting, right. Exactly. Fine. What are we doing right now?
Broadcasting. They had communications.
Yeah, well, everyone's got communications.
And they had journalism.
Okay, but they didn't have the official major. That and my GPA kept me out.
Yep.
All right, now finally to Andrew Destin's comments. I asserted that this is the most important series of O'Neal Cruz's young career. It can go one way or it can go another way. And I heard Malzi bring up yesterday Pedro Alvarez. Pedro Alvarez had a cannon. But before they put the netting up, once it went for him, you were in danger. Life, limb, to get hit by a ball anytime one was chopped to him at third base. And I just don't want to see the same thing happen to O'Neal Cruz. And he did recover and make a couple of nice backhand plays in the final game of that series. Maybe that tells you everything you need to know. But I want to see the guy that we saw in July, who had basically a 950 OPS, who had five homers, who was carrying the offense. I want that guy back. I want that guy back. And I know Framber Valdez, that's a difficult matchup for him left on left, and that's why he went down in the lineup. But I want to see him make the routine plays this weekend, and I don't want to see him flail as miserably as he was flailing at the plate in the latter two games of that series where he wasn't even in any danger of making contact. Do you think it's as simple as that, Doran, that this can be that big of a series for him to get back on the horse and be that player that he had been in July?
Sure. I think that players can find it. It just takes maybe a longer time for each player. I mean, everybody's different, so maybe he just, that day off, he kind of reset, you know, today or yesterday. He kind of reset, and maybe he comes back and he's back home. He's comfortable. He understands the layout. He understands his process. He understands the structure of a day better. I mean, I don't know what it takes. You know, I never played baseball at that level, but I'm sure that, you know, a guy with that talent can find it. And if he doesn't find it this series, then I might be a little bit worried. Like, if he continues it, then I'm going to be a little bit worried because we all know how crucial these games are right now, and he has to be a big, major piece to the puzzle for them to get to where they want to be at the end of the season. Now, would you take O'Neal Cruz being the way he was last series, this series, if that meant Ke'Bryan Hayes just absolutely busted out of the slump and was just dynamite?
I think there's a much better chance to answer a different question that you didn't ask. I think there's a much better chance of O'Neal Cruz being the O'Neal Cruz from the last month than there is of Ke'Bryan Hayes figuring it out.
Okay.
And maybe ever.
Okay.
I think I'm there on that guy. And so we asked Destin about that too. Hey, when Nick Gonzalez is back, is IKF, if Ke'Bryan Hayes keeps up these hitting woes, is he your everyday third baseman? And he actually said he might eat into some of his playing time now.
Right.
Because they so value defense. Michael A. Taylor, Austin Hedges last year, Ke'Bryan Hayes, defense, 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 Jared Triola, Alika Williams, defense, defense, defense. Well, IKF can pick it. He's been a gold glove guy before. They feel like they can play him at shortstop. They feel like they can play him in center field. They feel like they can play him at third base. I don't hate them spelling Ke'Bryan Hayes every now and again for now. I don't. And I would feel better about Ji-Won Bae at second base, maybe, and him at third than Ke'Bryan Hayes there and IKF at second base.
Yeah.
I just can't do it with this guy anymore. Because when he's been at his best, it's been like 3 months of his career. And his bad was never this bad, but now we're not even seeing the good spurts. Like, for the longest time, you would have Joe Block tweet out his Joe Blockian stats, where it'd be like, hard hit percentage. And Ke'Bryan Hayes was always hitting it hard. Now you're not even getting that
from
him.
Not even that at all.
And I know Parada was on the midday show yesterday, and he said he thinks the back is still an issue. Well, if it's still an issue, and it's been a year plus, when's it not going to be an issue? Off season?
Yeah, there comes a point where it's detrimental to the team.
Yeah.
You know, you're holding down the team. Like, if it is an issue, and you expected him to work through it, there comes a point where it's like, okay, like it's becoming a negative on the team and winning and losing games.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the worst OPS guys in the sport. I think Pony tweeted it out 2 days ago. He was the worst. I haven't checked the update. It doesn't matter if he's worst or second worst or third worst. He's terrible. He can't hit the ball. And he's a double play machine. And you can't tell me. I know all these metrics and WAR and defensive runs saved. How many chances does a major league fielder have to impact a game? Every game. More often than not, it's going to be routine stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what, twice a week, he's making plays that no one else makes? There is value in that. But you have a chance to impact the game four times a game, five times a game, at the plate. And he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not seeing it add up there. He's not saving a game five times a game. He's not making a spectacular play five times a game, but if you go 0 for 4 and you ground into a double play, you've equated for, let's do math here, five outs. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not seeing how he pulls his weight here at all.
There's no balance.
No.
There's no balance there. I mean, then you're in the category of losing games. You know, losing games instead of saving games.
Eighth inning. Runner right. on first and second. Right. Two outs. Harmless ground out.
Yep.
And it's just,
I mean, he leads the league in double plays, right?
He's got to be up there. He has to be up there.
He made top five.
Yeah, he's got to be. And it's not like he steals bags, and he doesn't move runners over. He doesn't bring you anything offensively.
I hate to say this about athletes, but it just looks like he goes through the motions. I hate to say that. But
I am definitely seeing a lack of emotion from him.
Yeah.
And I do hate to read into that kind of stuff, too.
Right.
Like, there are guys you couldn't help but do that for, like Mitch Keller. Like, early Mitch Keller, you could tell that the world was spinning 8 million miles an hour around him. But Key does, he makes a play, he doesn't make a face. He doesn't make a play, he doesn't make a face. He just doesn't seem excited to be playing baseball right now. And if you've got chronic back issues,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been there. You are there. It sucks. But I'm not seeing anything that tells me he's breaking out of it or that that's on the horizon. Whereas Michael A. Taylor's done that. If Michael A. Taylor could be the second half's last 2 months of Rowdy Tellez, now all of a sudden you're in a good place.
Really
offense for your outfield.
Yes.
With Reynolds, Michael A. Taylor, and Brian De La Cruz. You were staring at me like I was going to screw his name up.
They're going to say De La Rosa.
And I nailed it. John Wehner sends his regards. Coming up next, social media's biggest loser. I'm going to show Dorian a video. And we'll both give you our opinions on it. We'll see if they match up. We'll do that to wrap things up. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. No Starkey today. It's going to be Zeiss, which means you'll have Earth, Wind, and Fire bringing you in at about 10 o'clock. I saw Jordy Mercer was on with the PM guys yesterday, and he threw an idea out there, Doran, before we get into social media's biggest loser. Move Key Brian Hayes to shortstop and O'Neill Cruz to third. And I know that shortstop is a more important defensive position. However, I don't know that it helps anything.
No.
Do we think that O'Neill Cruz isn't going to still run backwards at 150 miles an hour from third base?
It's a longer throw too, and I mean he's already inaccurate.
Close. Right. And I don't want Key Brian Hayes probably in my lineup anymore. I'm looking for any and everybody who might be interested in him and trying to shop him around this offseason. I think he'd probably be a really good shortstop. He is an elite, elite, elite defensive third baseman. Perhaps, really, one of the best of all time. So I do think that would translate to short, but you're still going to have O'Neill Cruz problems at third. Right. I think the most sense, and you brought this up yesterday, is to move him to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in a corner outfield spot, right field, and let him use his speed. Let him use his arm. He'd be able to use his arm at third, not so much the speed. He'd be able to cover a lot of ground out there in the outfield and think less in the outfield.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if reshuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic really helps anybody, either Key Brian Hayes or O'Neill Cruz. All right, social media's biggest loser. This is a viral clip on social media. I'm not sure the league, but I just retweeted it, @_AdamCrowley on the Twitter.com. It is a pitcher probably between, 16 and 18 years old, and mid-windup is vomiting everywhere. He's in the middle of throwing a pitch, and he's just spewing vomit everywhere. And all the comments are, this kid's a warrior. This guy's the best, yada, yada, yada. My thought is, where are the adults? This kid's not healthy. He's not healthy. He's sick. He's going to be dehydrated. Pull his ass from the game. We saw Hunter Green throw. He's a professional. He's getting paid millions of dollars, and that's before the first pitch. Okay, fine. This is a kid. He's a kid. He's puking on the mound. You can't have that happen. I can see there'll be disagreement here.
I mean, it's just water. He chugged too much water and probably chugged it too fast and probably chugged a lot of water.
He quote tweeted it and said he's sick. He's a sick young man.
No, he didn't.
He did.
He said, I'm sick.
He said, yeah, he did the Biden.
I'm sick.
He did the Biden thing. I'm sick. And then everyone's left, well, what are you talking about? Yeah, he did. He said, I was not feeling well that day.
But it wasn't like a throw up. It was water.
Well, maybe that's all he had in his system was water.
Mm.
I mean, just.
Did he continue to pitch? What, do you know that?
He probably. If you're going to throw that one, you're probably going to keep going. If you put him out there in that state of disrepair.
Here's, get him out of the game.
Well, here's the other thing, Doran. Like, he throws the ball through the vomit. Vomit. His arm swats all the vomit towards the hitter. Like, the hitter got wet. Like, there's no
that's
chance the hitter.
Nasty.
That's what I'm saying. This kid's got, like, SARS or whatever, and he's puking, and now the kid who's up to bat and the catcher and the umpire are all going to get sick.
Ooh.
Oh, it's disgusting.
That is terrible.
Oh. Dude, he really does. He really throws the ball through his own vomit.
Did he throw a strike?
You can't see the catcher in the frame, but it looks like it's probably going to be a
strike. That would throw me off if I was a batter.
You think?
Like, yeah. Like, I don't know what I would do. I don't know. Wouldn't be able to swing.
Ooh,
that's so gross.
I would look over at the dugout and I would say, Coach, get him out. Get him the hell out of here. Like, spit balls are illegal. I would have to think that vomit balls also illegal.
Ugh.
There are Pirates pitchers that have made me want to vomit through the years, but I've never seen this before.
Sick.
He swats the puke 60 feet, 6 inches. I've never seen anything like it. Paul Zeiss up next. This was a fun show today, Doran.
Yes. See you next week.
Yeah, we'll tell everyone about what happens at this pit deal at the Pit tomorrow when we come back on Monday. And hopefully the Buccos can take 2 out of 3 at least from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zeiss up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high 84, 85% chance of rain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.